The following is a paid program. 1590 WAKR and its owners, the Rubber City Radio Group, are not responsible for its content.
Money Talks, the show that gives you the tools to navigate a challenging economy, help you build and protect your wealth, and provide timely news and information to manage your money. Here's the host of Money Talks, Richard Peterson, president of Capital Financial Group on 1590 WAKR.
Well, good morning, Sandy. How are you today?
Oh, I'm just doing peachy. In fact, I was pleased to see that they have salt trucks out there because they've been talking about this ice storm. But I was pleasantly surprised that it was not happening as I was on the road this morning.
No ice storm.
Yes.
At least yet.
Yes.
It looks
yes.
like
so
it's
they say
up.
There's a winter weather advisory, so be careful. But yeah. I just thought I'd like, you know, if you're listening and you haven't been out yet, at least they got the ice trucks out. So, yeah.
So get some ice and then rain. And then it's going to get desperately cold tomorrow night. And then we have snow coming in.
A little bit of everything.
Winter's here, huh?
We have like winter, spring, all rolled into one. And fall, all rolled into one weekend.
Hey, it's Northeast Ohio,
amazing.
You know?
Yeah. keeps it interesting.
Well, good morning, everyone. I am your host, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. This is Money Talks. And thanks so much for joining us on this new year. 2015. Boy, they just fly by faster every year, don't they? As we take a look at the markets that, they were kind of on a roller coaster ride this week again. The Dow did finish in positive territory yesterday after being down for the major part of the day. It finished up just about 10 points to close at 17,832. The NASDAQ was down 9 points, closed at 4,726. The S&P 500, well, it was basically unchanged at 2058. Year-to-date, of course, we've only had one trading day this year, but year-to-date, the Dow is up 0.1%, the NASDAQ down 0.2%, and the S&P, well, it's 0% for the year. Natural gas, well, it was up 11 cents to close at $3 even. We saw that oil, the West Texas Intermediate, down another 58 cents yesterday, closed at $52.69. Brent crude was down 91 cents, closed at $56.42. We saw the gas futures were down another 4 cents to $1.43. And at the pumps, it's so nice to have the pleasure to announce $1.89 for a gallon of regular unleaded. Boy, that just sounds so good. Gold was up $2.10 to close at $1,186.20 an ounce. Silver up 17 cents, closed at $15.77. The VIX, the volatility index, or the fear gauge, was down $1.41, closed at $17.79. And in the bond market, we saw the 2-year close at 0.66%, the 5-year at 1.61%, the 10-year now sits at 2.11%, and the 30-year 2.69%. So, lots of news, and which ones are we going to cover today? Well, you know, as we start the new year, we kind of want to look at how we invest our money, protect our money, and the outside influences that help to make our decisions. As we have talked about on the show before, so much today, investing and the way that we invest and the decisions that we make are so intertwined with government policy, government action, government law, government taxes. We have no choice but to look at the involvement of government. The first thing, as I read a study this past week, an article pertaining to a study, this was conducted by Princeton University and Northwestern University, as reported in the Washington Times, America is an oligarchy, not a democracy or republic, because of what has taken place in this country over the past numerous years. Oligarchy, the definition according to Webster's Dictionary, a country, business, or government, etc., that is controlled by a small group of people, government by the few. Basically, what was concluded by the study is the fact that you and I pretty much don't have a say in the government anymore. It's the PACs and large contributors of money to the government, basically for, well, as we look at the full definition according to Webster's. I really like this. A government in which a small group exercises control, especially for corrupt and selfish purposes. Can't say it any better than that. What's more important for the congressmen out there or senators? It's their own political career, then their political party, and you and I are last on the list. And so such, the democracy is no longer alive. It is the oligarchy. It is presented in the test and the findings of Princeton and Northwestern that if you're looking for a policy change with low support among those out there, 1 in 5, you're going to see it adopted about 18% of the time, change with support 4 out of 5, about 45% of the time. But if you're a large contributor or a large PAC, labor, or so forth, you're going to get the bill or policy probably passed by the Congress. And in many circumstances, you'll find it is actually those same people who write the verbiage in the bill. Something we've talked about the last few weeks concerning this very issue is what was passed in the Reconciliation Act a few weeks ago with the debt ceiling having to do with pensions. I bring this up again because I keep finding out more information about this, and it's just completely and very disturbing to me the way that hardworking Americans in this country are completely gouged, taken advantage of, taxed, money taken away, and so forth. And when we look at this, I'm going to compare it to something and statements made by our same elite congresspeople out there, elected officials for the American public. You know, when they talk about, we have $48 billion that goes out to many countries that hate our guts. And why are we giving them our hard-earned taxpayer dollars? Well, that's beyond me. As a matter of fact, heard this past week, you know, the Bergdahl trade that we just had earlier last year, the traitor that's going to come out in the news in the next week or two, according to reports out there, and he's going to, be known, or he's going to be a traitor. And in that trade, Obama gave $5 billion to the country of Qatar with this trade. Your and ours hard-earned money, $5 billion. Now, I would like Mr. Obama to explain to me why he gave Qatar $5 billion of our taxpayer dollars. Anyways, we get back to the $48 billion to other countries, as it will be explained by the elite in Washington. This is just a fraction of the money and budget of the United States of America. Okay, fine. Let's use that same reasoning with this pension problem that they put into the bill several weeks ago. Why? Because they anticipate a problem with the guarantee fund, the pension guarantee fund, which could be short by how much? $42 billion. Well, why would it have to be put into a bill if it's just a fraction of the economy of the United States of America? Instead, let's go ahead and give billions for the illegal aliens in this country to get driver's licenses, education, health care, and so forth. But let's take away up to 60% of the pensions of the hardworking Americans in this country that earned that money through hard work, through giving up raises throughout the years. And let's take it away from them instead. I'm sorry, folks, but that just does not make sense to me. To me, it is immoral. To me, it is putting illegal aliens, Middle Eastern countries that hate us, and others in front of Americans who have paid into the tax system of this country. Yes, reading about this, all of these multi-employer pensions out there, if they were to project a shortfall in the next 10 to 20 years, project a shortfall. And of course, they're using the past circumstances of a near depression of the years 2008 and 2009 to make these assumptions that the pension guarantee fund may have exposure to some losses in the next 10 to 20 years. They are going to be allowed today to start cutting your pension up to 60%. Auto workers, United Food and Commercial workers, steel workers, pipe fitters union workers, anybody that has a pension that even is currently receiving that pension can get their benefits cut. And to make this even worse, these people that have the discretion to make these cuts are not going to be held to the fiduciary responsibility laws that once they were held to, which means you can't even go back and sue them. And if they do not have a shortfall, which by many calculations they will not have a shortfall, you can't go back and get your money back. And all of this is why, if we look at the underlying reason, the unions wanted this because they get to cut the pensions ultimately, and I'll lay down my money on the table today, that within the next year or two, all of the board members and higher-ups and executives in the unions will be receiving large raises. Isn't that coincidental? But again, we live in an oligarchy, not a democracy, and so unfortunately, there's not anything we can do except live with what our elected officials that we sent to Washington have dictated are now going to take place. And with that, we'll be back after these commercial breaks.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590. With more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back to Money Talks on this Saturday morning. And if you've joined us from the beginning and you're all riled up now because you understand we no longer live in a democracy but an oligarchy run by the few elites out there in this country. Why do I bring up the topic and discuss it? Primarily, as I mentioned, we really have no control over it. Well, I do that because of the connection of what government does and the end result of what government bills and laws and the actions of the president, for example, through his executive orders or another unknown little area that was discovered, his memorandums that carry the same weight as executive orders, but they're not recorded as executive orders, and so he kind of can get away with them under the table a little bit. But yes, he has a ton of memorandums that he also uses out there. And the reason I bring this up is because investing has become so different than what it was 20, 30 years ago. You look at the fact that today 70% of the stocks traded out there are traded by the institutional investors, the pension funds, the hedge funds, the big mutual fund companies, and so forth. It's not the small investor anymore. You have to be aware of the ties and the connections of what laws will do to change various investments. If the Congress decides to give preferential treatment to a certain industry, well, that's the industry that you're going to want to invest in because they're going to do better. Maybe it was tax reasons. Maybe it's because they opened up the door to special trade agreements. Maybe they have special laws passed for them. And so those are the areas that you need to be aware of. It's not so much that we have so much control over what happens, but you have to be aware of what is happening so that you can take advantage of what the government sets out as the rules of the game. How many of you know how to play the game checkers? Well, anybody can be taught how to play checkers, but how do you get good at checkers? You have to understand the strategy of the game, or chess, or Monopoly, or Risk, or any other game. The better you understand the rules, the better you have a chance of winning the game. The same goes with investing. If you understand what the Fed is doing and how they are manipulating interest rates and what is happening around the world, countries like China and Russia and India, and what's really happening over in the European Union, and what is Mario Draghi predicted to do at the end of this month, and when will Janet Yellen raise interest rates in this country, and what really is happening with the dollar and the price of oil. If you understand these things, you have a much better chance and opportunity of being able to make money out there in the markets and to protect yourself against the bad investments that will be taking place and have the right diversification. These things are so important in being able to be a winner in the game as opposed to a loser. That's why I bring it to the attention of the listening audience, because the game is not the same. The game has changed, and you better understand that the game has changed, because if you know the rules, you will have a much better chance at success than you will at failure. Those that don't feel the game has changed, those that want to listen to the pundits out there squawking on CNBC and so forth, well, you're going to have much less of a chance at winning, more of a chance at having losers. And that's just because you're not opening up your mind to the fact that the world goes on. Like it or not, you just have to understand what is happening and the reasons behind it. Hopefully this will help, and we'll be back after these commercial breaks. Don't go away.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590. With more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back on this Saturday morning. It is time for the Money Talks Joke of the Week as we try to take a lighter side of things.
Morning, hijinks and hilarity is about to ensue. So, you know, make sure it, you're sitting down.
Well, this week, Sandy, it's about a fellow who decided to take off early from work and go drinking. He stayed in the bar until it closed at 2 a.m., by which time he was extremely drunk. When he entered his house, he didn't want to wake anyone, so he took off his shoes and tiptoed up the stairs. Well, halfway up the stairs, he fell over backward and landed flat on his rear end. Well, that wouldn't have been so bad, except that he had a couple of empty pint bottles in his back pocket. And when they shattered, well, the broken glass carved up his rear end terribly. But he was so drunk, he didn't even know he was hurt. A few minutes later, as he was undressing, he noticed blood, so he checked himself out in the mirror. Sure enough, his behind was cut up something terrible. Well, he repaired the damage as best he could under the circumstances and went to bed. The next morning, his head was hurting and his rear was hurting, and he was hunkering over the covers trying to think up some good story for his wife when she came in the bedroom. "Well, you really tied one on last night," she said. "Where'd you go?" "Well, I worked late," he said. "I stopped off for a couple of beers." "A couple of beers? That's a laugh," she replied. "You got plastered last night." "Well, where the heck did you go?" "Well, what makes you so sure I got drunk last night anyway?" "Well," she replied, "my first clue was when I got up this morning and found a bunch of Band-Aids stuck to the mirror in the bathroom."
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That's what happens when your perception's off a little bit, huh?
Yeah. Especially like with New Year's Eve with the amateurs out drinking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They got to have some experiences.
So anyways, we take a shift here and we kind of look at some of the predictions for the year 2015. Let's take a look, first of all, with oil. You know, what's going to happen with oil? Well, oil right now is down for various reasons. It's down because the dollar is up. The dollar is up and so strong because, well, the rest of the world is weak. Europe's on the brink of a recession. We have the problems in Russia because of the sanctions. We have China slowing down. We have high inflation down in South America and many of the countries, particularly like Brazil. So the United States is looking pretty good. So the dollar is very, very strong. And since oil is priced in dollars, well, the price has gone down. Then we also have the demand picture again. Because the rest of the world's not looking so good, demand has fallen, so therefore the price has fallen. And thirdly, we also have supply. You know, you look at the supply and demand factors. Well, we have an extra large supply currently. Now, let's look at the facts and what we predict for the year 2015. The supply currently is running roughly about 1 million barrels per day. On a global economy that uses about 91 to 92 million barrels per day, 1 million really isn't that excessive. The shale boom in the United States has, of course, contributed to that. We also heard a couple days ago that Iraq's production is back up to full production capabilities. But how much longer will this last? A couple of things can very quickly change the global demand picture out there. If China starts to pick up demand again, if the sanctions, because Mr. Putin decides that enough is enough and the sanctions are dropped and Europe gets to trade more, Germany, the powerhouse engine of the European Union, well, between Russia and China, they've actually slowed down considerably, and they have been a big reason why Europe isn't doing so well, along with the countries like Italy, Greece, Portugal, Spain, France. Is Mr. Draghi going to get into the bond buying program called quantitative easing like Mr. Bernanke was at the end of this month? We'll soon find out. As soon as the world demand starts to increase, which is predicted that it will by mid-year of 2015, we'll see that excess supply diminish and evaporate. I've also heard several oil experts out there that have said the price has fallen too far, too fast. And like anything else, when the markets fall or when prices recede, we're going to get a snapback. And I heard a gentleman yesterday who's an expert who said this snapback is going to be much faster than the fall was over the past couple of quarters that we've seen oil fall. I think if as a prediction, if I were looking, I would say that probably by the end of the year, we're somewhere around $85 to $95 per barrel. It is going to come back. We are much lower than we should be at this particular point in time, particularly as demand starts to come back and supplies start to dwindle. So we see oil back into that $85, $95 price range. Which means gas prices will go back up. That certainly doesn't push you back up towards $4, but it will probably push you back up closer to $3 or break over $3 a little bit. Really can't predict the gas prices as much as oil, but we'll kind of see where things go. How about the stock market itself? Well, the stock market with the United States, growth actually increasing. We're seeing GDP numbers by many experts out there actually exceeding 3% for the year 2015. As we saw for the third quarter here in the United States, we hit 5%. I don't think we'll be that ambitious in 2015, but certainly over 3%, which would be the first time in over 10 years. So therefore, the market should do reasonably well. Predictions at this point are probably, in my guesstimation, probably somewhere between 7 and 10% for the year. As we saw this year, you know, things did very well for a while. We had a couple of pullbacks. We had a nice correction in October. Market came back. Had a couple of weeks where the markets were down there. Kind of finished on a dim note for 2014, but still positive for the year. And so, therefore, kind of see a similar year for 2015, a little more volatility, though. You know, we may see one or two corrections in 2015, just kind of something I'm throwing out there because of the global gyrations that are out there and the things that we see happening. But all in all, we see the economy improving. probably continued job growth. Probably we'll see by mid-year sometime interest rates start to go up by the Fed. We'll see long-term rates start to go up a little bit. Nothing this year that's going to be of any tremendous fright to anybody. But by the end of the year, we should end up with a positive note. Market should be positive for the year. GDP experiencing an average of plus 3% for the year. We should see the European Union start to have some positive GDP growth on their side of things. But a lot of unknowns. I mean, you're kind of predicting. You're kind of trying to look into a crystal ball here. Don't know what's going to happen with the healthcare system. A lot of stumbling blocks out there. We're going to see the Supreme Court take up the case on March the 4th. This could have some devastating effects on Obamacare. Of course, we now have the new Senate that will come in on Monday. And now that we have a Republican Senate and a Republican majority in the House of Representatives, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Of course, we have the president being very stubborn, basically telling Congress that he only wants them to put bills on his desk that he's going to sign. Otherwise, he's going to veto them. So don't waste your time doing the bills you know I'm going to veto. I don't know. Do we really have an oligarchy or do we have a dictatorship? I'll leave that up to you. Anyway, let's go ahead and get to the phone lines for the Money Talks quiz of the week. 330-370-1590. That's 330-370-1590. If you're new to the show, I'm going to ask you three multiple choice questions. You win breakfast at Bob Evans just for being our contestant. If you get all three right, we'll move you into the bonus round for one more question. 330-370-1590. We're going to take caller number five. We'll be right back.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590. With more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back. It is time for the Money Talks quiz of the week. And Sandy, who's our contestant?
I have Eva from Canton on the line. Hi, Eva. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing, Richard?
Good morning, Eva. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you.
Well, how was your holidays?
It was really great. It was really great. It went really fast, though.
Don't they, though?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, here we are. We're going to blink. It's going to be Easter, July the 4th, Thanksgiving, and Christmas again.
Again, I know. Let's not rush it that much, though.
I guess it's just what happens when you get a little bit of age behind you, isn't it?
Yeah, you got that right.
Well, are you ready for the questions today?
Well, I hope so. They're going to be easy, right?
I have a feeling these may be on the little more of the difficult side of things.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, let's see how you do, though.
Okay.
What is the average annual savings on a four-year car loan of $25,000 for somebody with a FICO score of 720 or above compared to somebody with a FICO score of 660 to 689? What would the average annual savings be because of the interest rate difference? Would it be $377 a year, $468 a year, or $512 a year? What do you think?
Oh, boy. That one is a hard one there, Richard. I'm just going to take a guess, and I'm going to take the middle one.
That's a good guess.
It is? Okay, good.
Your lucky day.
$468 is the average savings for somebody that has a 720 FICO score compared to a 660 to 689 because they get a better interest rate, so therefore
right.
Their payments are going to be lower. All right, Eva. In 2014, the Dow Jones had a total return of how much? 7.5%? 8.1%? or 8.8%. As of Wednesday night, with the close of the markets, the Dow had gained how much for the year? 7.5%, 8.1%, or 8.8%?
Oh, I think 8.8.
Only 7.5%.
Oh,
yeah, I had a few bad days there towards the end, and it wiped out a few of the gains for the year, but still came in at 7.5%.
Yeah.
And speaking of the Dow, you know, December is the month most likely for the Dow to end with a gain. What was the loss for the blue chip index in the worst December ever of 1931? How much did the Dow Jones lose in 1931, Eva? Was it down 9%, 11%, or 17%?
Oh. In 1931.
Now, I know you weren't alive then.
By about 20 years.
But it was a very bad year in the month of December for the Dow. Was it down 9, 11, or 17%?
Well, here again, it's going to be a guess on that one. 17%.
You're absolutely correct.
I am? Okay. Yeah.
See, those weren't so...
I should have guessed on that middle one, too. And
yeah, this wasn't so bad. You got 2 out of 3.
Yeah, well... For being tough ones, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I think they were a little bit tougher. But you did very well, Eva. And
oh,
we're
going
to send you out your breakfast to Bob Evans. And I hope you enjoy your weekend very much.
Well, thank you, Richard. And may I wish my friend a Happy New Year, too.
Sure.
I know that she's probably listening.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
All righty. You have a nice weekend.
Thank you. You, too.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
All right.
Were they tough?
Well, you know what? The one that I got right, which was the one I got right, was the one where I guessed the 17% on the year 1931, the stock thing,
okay.
Because I thought that was the most outrageous one.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be the most outrageous.
Yeah.
And
year.
That was really a guess.
Yeah.
But, you know,
bad year.
Yeah. Thank God they're multiple choice. Yeah.
Could you imagine losing that much? And
oh, my God. Yeah. It was kind of like buying a house in the early 80s, right?
Yeah.
17% interest. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about inflation back then. It was horrible, and it was induced by the Fed. Paul Volcker actually induced that inflation
rate.
Really? Yep.
Speaking of that, the decisions that our politicians make affect our real lives and our real things. Because it's not like you can't decide. Like some things, you know, if they would just leave alone the things that we need, food, gas for our cars, which is, you know, a necessity for a lot of people because you need it to get to work. And, you know, like the basics, if they would leave that alone, you know, we could plan better, you know, yeah.
And I'm going to go ahead and expand on that since you brought it up a little bit. You know, if you were buying a home back then, you're going to pay 16, 17, 18% on a mortgage. If you knew what was going on, you could have locked in a 5-year CD rate at 15%, for example.
Oh, yeah.
You also, if you recall back in 1980, 81, what happened to silver and gold? You know, they really went up in price.
Uh-huh.
And why? Inflation was very high. Now, we've talked about it before on the show, and we're going to have many shows more about this. We've got inflation coming down the road here.
Uh-huh.
And guess what's going to be a good investment again? Silver and gold.
Oh.
Yeah. Even though it may not look like it today because, you know, when you're buying straw hats and bathing suits in January, you don't look like the smartest individual until June and July come around. So. But anyway, here's the 10 commandments of getting debt-free according to Yahoo Finance, and I thought we would share those. There's some of the things that you always just need to think about. Thou shalt not buy things you cannot afford. Boy, overspending can quickly get out of control, as many of us know. How many of you, when you do your Christmas shopping, one for a gift and one for me? I think many of us have done that, but don't buy things you can't afford, and the best way to do that is don't buy things with a credit card. Use cash. You'll spend less money that way. Thou shalt pay yourself first. What's the first ingredient of accumulating wealth? Put some money in savings, because you can't get a good investment return if you have no investments. Thou shalt have an emergency fund. Boy, we hear this from everybody. You know, Susie Orman's a very big one on this. Should you have 6 months, 8 months, 10 months? Well, it all depends a lot on your lifestyle, your job, and so forth. But you should have an emergency fund. This way, when the car breaks down, it doesn't devastate your month or the next 6 months. It inconveniences you for one single day. You take care of it. It's over. Thou shalt track your spending. How many times have we said to people, if you were to write down every single penny that you spent for a month, you would amaze yourself how you're nickel and diming yourself to death on the small purchases that you make throughout each and every day. Thou shalt not ignore debt collectors. If you find yourself in debt and you're getting those calls, it's better to take an offensive stance than a defensive stance. Work something out. Tell them the problems. Work with them. It'll go much better. Thou shalt not take out high interest loans. It also pertains to putting high interest credit balances on your credit cards. Keep in mind that retail or rewards and retail cards generally carry a much higher APR. You don't want to balance on those cards, particularly when it's over 20%. Thou shalt make your payments on time, one of the most important key ingredients to keeping that FICO score high. Make your payments on time. Now, here's a little secret just so that you understand. If you're late on your payment and have to pay that late charge, that does not affect your credit score until you're 30 days late. So even though you may have woken up and you forgot to make your payment and you're going to get hit with a $35 charge, make your payment. It does not affect your FICO score unless you're 30 days late. Thou shalt regularly check your credit. That is something that everybody should do at least once a year to make sure that there's not things on your credit report that don't belong there. In this time and day and age of people taking, you know, identity theft, you need to make sure that there's not something on your credit that you did not open as far as a loan. Thou shalt not co-sign for someone else. Oh, this is a big one. Parents, I think, are most guilty of co-signing for their children, and it leads to so many financial devastations and horror stories because you're trying to do something out of love and concern for your child, and it ends up coming back to bite you later because so many children, unfortunately, are irresponsible at such a young age, and they don't care when they don't have a job and can't make the payment. Oh, Mom will make it. Well, you know what? That could ruin Mom's retirement. And thou shalt pay your credit card bills in full. If you're not paying in cash and you're buying something, make sure you pay that credit card bill off in full when it's done. Well, another show has come to an end. It's been a great pleasure to share the past hour with you. We always welcome the opportunity, Capital Financial Group, to work with you as your personal financial advisor. Let us help to eliminate the worry that comes with retirement planning and investment planning. Give us a call. Our number is 330-668-6991. That's 330-668-6991. Thanks so much for having us in today, and we'll see you next Saturday at 7 right here on Money Talks. Have a great week.
This has been Money Talks with Richard Peterson, President of Capital Financial Group. This program is informational only and should not replace a financial consultation before investing your money. Registered financial advisors are key toward a balanced and responsible financial policy. This has been a paid program. 1590 WAKR and its parent company, the Rubber City Radio Group, are not responsible for its content.